Hi, I'm Carrie, and this is Canoeing in British Columbia. On Canoe BC, I'll be talking and interviewing guests about everything to do with safe and pleasurable canoeing. Hi, and welcome to Canoe BC. Today it's my pleasure to welcome David, current trips director of the Beaver Canoe Club, based in Burnaby. You're the trips director of the Beaver Canoe Club, and if I remember correctly, it's in a few months, you'll have been a member of the Canoe Club for 25 years.
That's right. 25 years, and I've been the trips director a few times, and I've been on in other positions, and I really like it, and I hope to be around for another 25 years.
What does a trip director do in the Beaver Canoe Club?
Well, we have several executive positions, and the trip director's job is to organize the trips that the club is going to put on through the year. Previously, you were asking me who can go on Beaver trips. The Beaver Canoe Club's trips are for members. We feel that when you're a member, you're more likely to bring the right equipment and understand and adhere to the procedures and the norms of paddling together. By the right equipment, I mean what you bring for your own safety, and so that no one else is unsafe taking risk to make you safe. Equipment like PFDs, life jackets, boats that are seaworthy, boats that have air chambers or some way to float so that they'll stay floating even if they capsize.
Do you remember your very first trip with the Beaver Canoe Club?
Well, yes I do. So my first trip, this is a little embarrassing, but my very first trip was a training event called Introduction to Moving Water. And at the time, it was a moving water trip where experienced people would assist less experienced people negotiating rapids or rivers with chutes and rapids in them. So I felt because our training sessions, basic paddlers, sounded so basic, I thought I knew everything I needed to go on this Introduction to Moving Water. Somehow, to my own credit, I talked the organizer into letting me come. And I came. The first thing they were telling me about the knots on my boat and the ropes and what I should have, and it kind of bothered me. They were telling me what to do so much. But I realized through the day that everybody there had more skills than I did, and maybe they knew something I didn't about paddling and about the club and about what I should have done and what I should do to learn about paddling.
How does the Beaver Canoe Club organize trips? Like, how does it start?
The trip director makes a list, pulls the members, and makes a list of the trips that the trip director thinks that the members want to have through the year. So the first is a list of trips, and we talk about them, and we revise it, and then for each trip we have to find a trip leader or organizer, and for each organizer they have to be available and at the time before the trip happens, and their contact information has to be available to the rest of the members. People phone up the trip director, organizer. They say they want to come, and the trip organizer tries to figure out, do they have the skills for the trip we're going to do? And then they organize the trip accordingly. People show up at the appointed time, at the appointed place. They help each other out. They have a pre-trip talk. They check each other's equipment to make sure everything's there that should be. And they proceed on the trip. And there's the trip organizer is usually the trip leader, and that person makes sure that everybody is safe and that everybody is observing the rules and the norms of the club.
Do ordinary members get a say in what are club trips, or is it just a very select few?
Ordinary members get the only say in club trips. I can't dictate. If I tried to dictate where people are going to go, they would vote with their feet and they wouldn't come. I have to ask people where they want to go. I have to try and make accommodations for people's abilities and their schedules, and for what they prefer. And so it's all about ordinary members and what they want. So you were asking a bit earlier about what skills you need for the different trips. And well, to start with, we get a lot of people who have hardly paddled at all. On many of our trips, that works perfectly fine. If you can sit in the front of the canoe without leaning over the side and paddle forward once in a while, the chances are that someone in the stern will be happy to have you assist them in propelling the boat through the day. But most of us have learned the J-stroke.
Does the Canoe Club have trips 12 months a year, or is there kind of a season?
Well, there's a season. There's an official trip season. It's it goes from March, the third Sunday in March, to the third Sunday in October. That's covering the two shoulder seasons in the summer, and that's when most people want to paddle.
So you mentioned that the first trip of the year is the third Sunday in March, and that was just last week. So did you go on that first trip this year?
Oh, yes, I did. It was a great trip.
Okay. Tell me, where did you go, and tell me how it was from start to finish.
Well, we went to Widgeon Creek. We always start the year with it, and we always end the year with it. And I phoned my friend Lee and asked her if she would lead the trip. This was back in January, and she said yes, she would lead the trip in March and also the one in October. So Widgeon Creek, it's a bit of a misnomer because it's only partly a creek. It starts at Pitt Lake at Grant Narrows, and you actually paddle across a channel that can be choppy and can have tidal currents, and you work your way up a slough, and you come to a landing where there's no more. The slough gets so shallow there's no more water to paddle, and you get out. But just to back up, this trip, the other Sunday, we had 18 people, and I believe there were 12 boats. Some of us were solo. It started out raining. We weren't afraid of the rain because we knew if it's hard for us, it's going to be hard for the trip leader too, and she's going to kind of make accommodations. So if the weather got too bad, maybe we wouldn't have to go too far. So we proceeded up to Widgeon Creek, and we got to the landing. This is in the wilderness. It's a short route to the wilderness from the city. We had lunch at the landing, and then we took a hike, which was about maybe 50 minutes up to some waterfalls. And we took a different route back and had some adventures because there were some really rickety bridges we had to cross and stairways and ups and downs. When we got back, it was actually sunny. And we paddled back. It was a beautiful day. And afterward, we put our boats back on the car and some of us went for hamburgers. So it was really good in a number of ways. And Widgeon Creek is one of the only trips where you can start in the rain. You can be up in the snow, up on the side of a mountain, and then back in the sun. And in the shoulder season, anything can happen. It's a real adventure. You've asked about the Fraser River from New Westminster to the ocean. It's funny you should mention that because there are several options. And there's actually one option called Canoe Pass. The main arm of the Fraser is the south arm. This stretch of the Fraser from New West to the ocean, before it became a shipping channel, it was a canoe route of the Salish people who also had towns and settlements along the south shore. It's been in the news lately. The ocean ships coming in and going to New Westminster have limited mobility, and the Port Authority wants to restrict the channel only to motorized boats. We've used these waters ourselves in and around Dees Island, in and around Canoe Pass, from Steveston to Ladner, and archipelago of islands in between. We've had a regular spring trip where we start in Steveston, cross against a strong current, go to Ladner, have lunch, and come back to Steveston. It's been a very popular trip.
Tell me, are Beaver Canoe Club trips, are they, can I come for 1 hour or 2 hours? Or, you know, what if I have a dinner date that I got to be at 4 o'clock? How long are Beaver trips? How does it work out?
When we come on the trips, we assume they're for the whole day because they are adventures and we don't know what's going to happen. But we plan for a few hours of paddling and a lunch and some time getting ready and some time putting our boats back on the car. And it all amounts to 6 or 7 hours. We want a civilized starting time, and that's usually 9, 9:30. So we're going from morning to late afternoon. So if you have a dinner date, that might not be the best day to come on a trip.
Having said that, what's the attraction of Beaver Canoe Club trips?
Well, different people come for different reasons. Some come because they're interested in canoes, and they want to see other people's canoes and gain skills that they don't have. Some people, they want to impart skills that they have and other people don't. Some people want to come to make friends who like to do the things that they like to do. And some come, like myself, to be with their friends because many of their friends are also members.
So I was looking at the Beaver Canoe Club website at beavercanoeclub.org, and I saw something called Rivers Week. Tell me about Rivers Week.
Well, Rivers Week is a week in late June or early July when members of the club book a week off and go to the areas around Merritt and Princeton, where there are many rivers which at the time are ideal at an ideal water level to be paddled. We do car camping, meaning we park our cars beside a picnic table or a fire ring, and we take day trips on a river. But because there's so many people, we might go on several rivers a day. There might be an easy river for some people who want to be conservative, and there might be a hard river for people who are adventurous. And we do that for the whole week, which by the way, is not 7 days, but it's 10 days. You get the 7 days plus the 2 weekend days, plus the holiday, the July day. It's a great time, and we've had up to 80 people before. It's a really good time to enjoy rivers and improve your skills.
So if I came to Rivers Week, could I just go on any trip that I wanted?
Well, I guess you could by yourself, but if you're with the club, we want you, the trips that you go on, to be appropriate to the skills you have. For example, if you're new to canoeing, new to rivers, we want you to go on a river that would match your skills, that might be gentle and not have too many hazards. And you know about hazards and how to avoid them. You have participated in many rescues. Of course, you would be it would be suitable to go on the more adventurous trips.
Well, David, I really appreciate you talking about this, but the one thing we haven't talked about, everybody dreams about, are going on wilderness extended trips. You know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or even longer. So, tell me, have you been on any extended trips? How did you find the people to go with? And what makes these different from commercial trips?
I've been on several extended trips. In the Beaver Canoe Club, they happen in one of two ways. The first way, and the most common way, is that you come and participate in the day trips. And in Rivers Week and the other events. And you get to know people in the club, other members. You get to know their capabilities, their interests, people you like. You then privately organize trips amongst yourself, not necessarily club trips, trips that you know you can do and that the other people can do. And I've been on many trips like that. Those trips happen outside of the structure of the club, but they require, you kind of need to know the people in the club and be in the club to kind of have access to that dream. These differ from guided trips because with a guide, you don't need as many skills and you don't need to know much about what equipment you need. You just pay the guide and he takes care of it. But these self-guided trips, you pretty well have to know everything about the trip you're doing and what can go wrong and what you need to take with you. So the second way an extended trip can happen in the club is for the past few years, we have tried to have an extended trip for all members who are interested. One year we did the Bowron Lakes, one year we did the Broken Islands, and this year we're hoping to do Ross Lake. The requirements are a little bit different. It's more inclusive, so we try to suit the trip to the needs of the people coming, but we still expect the members who are coming to have some skills, some wilderness skills, some camping skills, to have acquired them before, or to acquire them between when they sign up and when the trip occurs.
So, in your opinion, what's the two most single important skills a person should have to go on wilderness trips in the Beaver Canoe Club?
You need, I'm not sure if I would call it self-sufficiency skills. You need to be able to hold your own, look after yourself, because you're part of a group and you're looking after the other members of the group. And you can't do that unless you can look after yourself. The second skill in wilderness trips or even day trips or any aspect of the club, the other skill is to enjoy yourself. You have to be able to make the day tolerable and enjoyable in the face of discomfort, adversity, and challenges.
Well, I really appreciate all that, David. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave with us?
Well, I hope that anybody hearing this podcast thinks about our club. If you like canoeing, we want you to be a member. It's about you finding Q1 in the club.
So what was that website address again for the Beaver Canoe Club?
It's beavercanoeclub.org, all one word, .org.
Okay, David, thank you very much for coming in and talking.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You can find out more, including show notes, at beaver.canoebc.ca. Catch you next time on Canoe BC.